This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum with you, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Saturday Suckage, I suck so you don't have to, which is running all over the place and having a disembodied clock. Something wrong with that. Bottom of the hour, I'll talk with Chuck Swirsky, play-by-play for the Bulls. You'll hear them tonight against the Warriors on the station. You'll hear Chuck at the bottom of the hour. But first, earlier today, upon the passing of Dick Turon, I talked to Jim Miller, quarterback of that 2001 team that was a team full of miracles. And talked about that, talked about Dick Turon, talked about the Ben Johnson and the Bears now, and also his MVP vote that just created a scary batch of stupid for him and his family. So hope you enjoy it. Here's a replay of that. Joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Jim Miller, CircaLasVegas.com. Jim Miller was a quarterback for that team, for that 2001 Bears team. He played under Dick Turon. Jim, thanks for taking time out today. When did you hear about Dick's passing, and what were your first thoughts?
Honestly, it was your radio station reached out. Obviously, I've been on the road for the past couple weeks doing the championship game, the Senior Bowl, and now the Super Bowl, and it's, you know, it's the sad end of the week, you know, for me personally, you know, with what's going on with Virginia, now Coach Turon. So, yeah, very sad day all the way around.
Worse than getting yelled at by your parents or by a guy like Dick Turon was having them be disappointed. Did you feel that way with Dick Turon?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, you felt like you were letting your dad down. You know, you really did. You know, and he didn't have to yell. He didn't have to scream. He never swore. Coach Turon, I think I heard him swear or say a cuss word once, you know, in my experiences with him. But I spent time down in Jacksonville with him, spent obviously a lot of time in Chicago with him. He invited me to go to Buffalo with him, and, you know, I chose to go another path, you know. But I was going to finish that story about Tom Carter, you know, and just how he treated players. You know, you knew when Dick Turon, when you get in that auditorium and you know you're a Chicago Bear, he said, I don't want anybody in this room who doesn't want to play for the Bears. He goes, if you don't want to be here, he said, I will find a home for you. He goes, so don't you bitch, moan, complain. You come talk to me. And if you don't want to be here and you don't want to represent the Chicago Bears and what we're going to build, you let me know and you will be the first person off this team. I want everybody to be here and I want you all in. And so that question to Tom Carter, they had moved Tom around. He was a great corner, swivel hip, say, well, let's put him in at nickel, see how it goes there. And it was a struggle for Tom in that training camp. And I remember coming into that after that practice, and he said, you know, he goes, I can't point the finger at anybody but myself. He goes, Coach Turon gave me every opportunity to make this team. And Tom Carter is a great teammate, great player. He's doing great things for the NFLPA. But in my seven, I think it was maybe my eighth year, I had never heard a player say that. Never. in my life. Normally your locker's just cleaned out and you are gone and that's it. But not Tom Carter. He goes, he said the right thing, because that's who Dick Duran was. He made you want to be a better man every single day and a better football player.
That's a tremendous respect being shown him. That was a season of miracles. We played earlier the Mike Brown picks, back-to-back pick sixes in overtime, and then ran down what led up to that miracle, like a Hail Mary from that James Allen caught, and two touchdowns in the last 4 minutes, touchdown passes to David Trout. What do you recall about those two games before we get to something else?
Yeah, obviously I was hurt in that Cleveland game, the San Francisco game, which was the week prior. I had had a really bad hip pointer. And, Shane Matthews played that game. And, you know, we knew we had a shot with our defense. We knew every week. I mean, we were just – and that's a credit to Dick Duran and his staff. They just wanted a bunch of hardworking guys that love to play football. And that's it. And we were a grinded-out group. Everybody showed up to work every day. Everybody got along. And everybody was making plays. You know, Mike Brown, how he came to the league. Just to how they even saw Brian Urlacher. I've said this story – numerous times. Rosie Colvin beat out Urlacher as a strong side backer. All right. Barry Minner was our middle backer. Barry was a great player. And Barry, unfortunately, tweaked his ankle. And they, you know, after Urlacher had failed at Sam Backer and Rosie beat him out, they just said, hey, throw the kid in there and see what happens. And then lo and behold, just a star was born. I mean, Dale Lindsay, the linebackers coach, I remember that first game that Brian played. He came out of that linebacker room, every one of their heads were shaking of the plays that Brian was making. His first, you know, with his opportunity to play at middle backer, and we all knew as a team, nothing was going to be the same. We had a really good team.
Yeah, and that's true. The way that season played out, and it was so. You lose the opener against Baltimore, and then you come back, and you're going to win. You have a bye week after two games. You win your second game, you have a bye week. That's weird to start with, but you keep the winning streak going. You win six in a row with those back-to-back, capped by the back-to-back pick sixes for Mike Brown. And then you play Green Bay. The only two games you would lose in the last 13 games would be to the Packers. That's awful. That's a lousy season, Jim Miller. I don't care about the 11 wins. That's Chicago think for you.
Well, it's unfortunate because we actually should have won that game. It came down to the last play. We ran X shallow cross, and we had a hot read to James Allen. And they went a blitz zone where they dropped the defensive end trying to get my lane to throw it to James Allen. So I threw it a little bit behind James Allen to just try and get him the ball, and it hit him in his back hip pocket. It was a tough catch. But if he would have caught that, he would have turned right up the corner and ran for a 30-yard touchdown. There was nothing but green. And we should have won that game. I wish I could have made a more accurate pass, and we would have beat Green Bay that last play. It came down to one play of that game, and that's what it came down to.
So
we would have won that game.
The last game of the year, I need to bring it up because I still think we all agree we hate Hugh Douglas to this day. He was dirty. He separated Jim from
Milton. I'm ready for a cage match. Let's set that up, Steve. Make it happen, Captain.
It took me
six surgeries to get my shoulder right after that.
I just think that was just all. I mean, that was a year you had to buy. 13-3, you had to buy. You got a home playoff game at Soldier Field. Has been drunk all day, and that was the day Jordan returned with the Wizards to play. I mean, it was an electric. I thought it was electric. What did you think as a player coming onto the field before that game, coming for the start?
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking to Donovan McNabb, obviously one of Chicago's own. He was down at Radio Row, and we were reminiscing about that game and all their great players. They had John running, and they had a really good offensive line, and Jim Johnson and McNabb, you know, they basically said that. They go, we were happy when you left the game. So, you know. I felt we would have won that game. I really do. It's unfortunate. I shouldn't have made the stupid mistake that I made to put myself in harm's way. And if I would have thrown that ball to the back corner of the end zone, we would have been up a touchdown. I underthrew it, and Dez, you know, did the best he could. But, you know, I should have thrown it to the back pylon, and we probably would have been leading 7-0 at that time.
And you might be healthy enough to be talking about a team that went to the Super Bowl. That's just so such an elusive thing in Chicago. Yeah. What do you think about the current Bears, the current coach, the new coach, the quarterback, the prospects at this point for the Bears team that you've seen them go? You were part of all that quarterback stuff and coach stuff and turning over. Where do you think they stand now? What's your view now of the Bears?
Yeah, I do like Ben Johnson. I was kind of shocked. I thought he was going to take the Jacksonville job. But it makes all the sense in the world. He knows the division. He knows how to game plan. He knows the schemes. And so he feels very confident in that division. He's got a very talented quarterback in Caleb Williams. You know, I've talked to Ben numerous times. We've become friendly with him. Know a lot of guys in his coaching staff. I think Dennis Allen, JT Barrett, Antoine Randall-L. These are really good coaches who are very good teachers of the game. And I think that's been missing. You know, people. I know people want to get a lot of young coaches that are the up-and-comers, but you have to be a good teacher, you know, and sometimes experience matters. So I think he's got a good mix of teachers, guys with experience like Dennis Allen, and I just really like his mental makeup and his approach. And I know coaches that have been in his past that have been his mentors, and he is very detailed. He's very organized, and there's a lot of depth to Ben Johnson. So he's a deep thinker, and he really, I think he's going to do well there. I think it's time, and hopefully this offense can get cranked up finally.
Before I let you go, Jim Miller, former Bears quarterback, has been my guest, gracious enough to spend time talking about Dick Geron and now the current Bears. Did you have a vote for MVP this year?
Yeah, I did. I'm coming under a lot of backlash, and I don't know why. I've had threats against my family, people calling me a racist, which is beyond the pale. You know, they sit there behind their desks in social media and tweet out this nonsense, but that's okay. And I'll tell you exactly why I voted the way I did. Lamar Jackson had an historic year. All right, he's done things at the quarterback position this past year that no other quarterback has done. So I rightfully voted him the offensive player of the year because he's a unicorn. He's a unicorn. Okay, he's the first one to do it. Saquon Barkley, who I respect greatly, he's really carried the Philadelphia Eagles. But there's eight other unicorns that have rushed for 2,000. And now we have extra games that allow you to rush for 2,000. Shoot, O.J. Simpson rushed for 2,000 with only 14 games. So he's not a unicorn. He's a great player who carried his team, and he is the MVP of his team. So I placed Josh Allen, one, for MVP. I placed Saquon Barkley, two, for MVP because he carried the team. I placed Joe Burrow, three, as MVP because they're the most valuable players on their team. Okay, fourth, I put Lamar. Correctly, he was placed Offensive Player of the Year because he's a unicorn. People think MVP is the most talented player in the league. That's not what MVP is. It's what you are to your team, okay? And I honestly, Steve, I put Patrick Mahomes fifth in my MVP vote, and I should have put him one. And here's why. Because he's 15-2, and football is the ultimate team sport. And the only stat that matters is winning. And he also is historical because he's won 17 one-score games, and he is directly responsible for it. And I could have slept very good and laid my head on a pillow at night placing Patrick Mahomes number one for MVP of the league because nobody's done what he's done as well.
So to recap your voting, Jim, your ballot read 1-5.
Yes.
Give it to us again.
Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, 2. Joe Burrow, 3. Lamar Jackson, 4. Patrick Mahomes, 5.
And based on the idea that who is most valuable to his team, the way that gets interpreted as opposed to, the award is not called the most outstanding player, is it? It's most valuable, meaning most valuable to his team, to that successful end, correct? That's the way you were thinking.
Yeah, that's well, people think it's the best player in the league. It's not. It's how they're most valuable to their team. And that's how I viewed it. And I, like I said, I personally struggled not. And I voted for Lamar twice already for most valuable player because the guy's electric. There's no denying it. But this is no different than back when I voted Tom Brady MVP and Peyton Manning had that historic year. Those stats mean nothing. All right. Yes, he had an historic year. He had 50 touchdowns, but I correctly placed him as the offensive player of the year. Doesn't mean he's the MVP. He's the offensive player of the year. To me, I voted Tom Brady MVP that year because he had done more. And I was actually at that championship game where Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were in the championship game. And Tom Brady was just off on an over route because of the thin air out there, the ball carried a little bit, and Edelman could not care. It was actually the last drive in New England. If he hits Edelman, Edelman walks in for a touchdown, and the New England Patriots are in that Super Bowl too against Carolina. And, you know, but that's how I see it. You know, it's a great year for Peyton Manning, but I correctly voted him the offensive player of the year because he put up gaudy stats, but stats aren't everything. You know, winning's important. And if you remember that Super Bowl 48, yeah. Which is, remember, the MVP and all these awards, they're not postseason awards. They're not put, this is on your regular season. So you don't factor anything in come postseason. I'm just bringing up these points after the fact that kind of justify my vote. And if you remember that Super Bowl 48, Denver got trashed. They got trashed by Seattle. MVPs don't play like that in Super Bowls.
Are you and your family okay? The threats sometimes make, do you have extra security? Have you taken other precautions?
Oh, I've let the NFL know. Absolutely. I let the correct people know that need to be notified. You know, that's what you do. That's what, you know, you just got to prepare yourself. But, you know, it's uncalled for. At the end of the day, it's a game. We're talking about a game. I love this game. I'm a lifer. I love football. I think it's the greatest sport that we know of, that we, out of all the major league sports, because it's the ultimate team sport. You know, that's what gravitated me to it. And there's no other sport, you know, that I think even compares to football. And so, you know, I love it. I'm a lifer, and I ain't going to stop. And anybody questioning my vote, that ain't going to stop me either. I could care less. What was the quote I made when the Bears, we won that 2001 division?
I remember everybody, that.
Yeah. I'll be in the middle of Main Street, and I'll give everybody an hour to draw a crowd. And you know what they can do.
Yeah, they can kiss the backside, if I recall, perhaps said more colorfully than I just did.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, thanks for your time. Appreciate you.
You bet. Good to be with you.
You too. Jim Miller.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, radio play-by-play voice of the Chicago Bulls of the NBA.
Derrick Rose brings it out. He's working against Andre.
Oh, and busted some ankles on a crossover goaltending. What a play by Derrick Rose. He just abused Andre Miller on a crossover dribble.
Dame with the deflection and the steal. Down the floor.
Caught it. Oh! Handed by Derrick Rose. Are you flat out kidding me? What elevation. Derrick Rose. What a nasty slam from Roddy Brewer. Onions, baby onions.
On the inbounds, it goes to DeRozan. DeRozan, turnaround jumper, baseline left. Tilt it in a foul assault. Turnaround J on Jaylen Brown just outside the lane. A little seven-footer. And DeMar DeRozan with 41.
Okay, let's do it. In the right setting, I do like to dance.
And it is the final here at the United Center. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! And this ball game is over. Bulls win! Bulls win!
Onions! Baby onions!
I think I want to get the thoughts. My next guest, I don't know if it would be the name for a punk band or maybe a whole act, But Chuck Swirsky, what do you think about the Dancing Swirskys? Would that be a good band? Lollapalooza name?
You know what? That was way over the top. Thank you for the intro, by the way. You know, I'll tell you what I'm doing now. It's like, because I have become enamored with the play of Mattis Bozelis, the number one pick by the Bulls, 11th overall, and because he has a variety of dunks, I'm calling it the Bozelis Boogie.
The Bozelis Boogie. There you go. Yeah. I thought you were going to go the Dancing Dunkers, but you know what? However it works. I'm with you on that.
However it works. He's going to be in the slam dunk contest a week from tonight in San Francisco.
Have you seen any, does he have any secrets? Have you seen him working on stuff pregame or practices or anything that like, oh, he's going to break this thing out and just, he's going to break the dunkometer?
No, you know what? I haven't. That's not to say that he hasn't worked on it, because we did a one-on-one interview a couple days ago, and he was really very transparent about where his game's at and his goal for as far as his journey through the NBA after the 10-for-10 performance, becoming the youngest player ever to score 20 or more points without missing a shot, which is remarkable for any player. I don't care if you're 20 or 40. Having said that, he said that he was working with Zach LaVine on dunks because Zach, of course, was a two-time champ. So it'll be interesting to see what he pulls out of the bag in a week.
Well, I guess it's Chuck Swirsky, if you can't tell by those golden tones. He's joining me on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. So, Chuck, I've been trying to get this lined up for a couple of weeks because I wanted to go back to the time when I wanted to have you on, be able to talk to you, the anniversary of Kobe's 81, because you yes. were there. You were, you may have been on the wrong side for the teams you were calling the Raptors games. You were Chucky Appleseed selling basketball and hockey country. And here comes one of the most iconic performances ever, and it was the anniversary a couple weeks ago of that. I know you wrote about it in your book, Always a Pleasure. But share with the class, because to bear witness to something like that is the kind of stories I would like handed down.
Okay, well, do you want to hear like the story behind the story?
Sure. Well, we're here for okay. that, Chuck. Everybody in All right, class.
Well, okay, Stephen. So here's the story. So my first year in the NBA was 98-99, and my former broadcast partner at the University of Michigan, Rob Pelinka from Lake Forest, who played on the 89 championship team, and then he redshirted 1 year and came back and played in two more Final Fours for Michigan. That was against Duke and North Carolina. So Rob was my broadcast partner because he was going to law school at Michigan. Well, during that time, he wanted to get involved in staying in touch with the program, and Steve Fisher came to me and said, Rob would love to get into broadcasting and help out. And I said, absolutely. And the chemistry was great, and so he is doing a fantastic job. He's going to law school, and he comes to me and says, hey, you know what? I've got an opportunity to do an internship with Arn Tellem, who was one of the super agents in the NBA in the mid to late 90s. And now he's actually working as president of the Pistons. But anyway, I digress. So here I am. Rob leaves to go to Southern California to work in the office of Arn Tellem. And he loves it so much. And we had a conversation about whether or not he should pursue broadcasting. He wants to be an agent. And he said, you know what, let me try this under Arn Tellem. Well, one thing led to the next. And some of those clients, because they were really tight with Rob, decided, you know what, why don't you represent me? And one of those clients was Kobe Bryant. So this is early 2000s, and Rob and I were talking, and I said, you know, Rob, I have never met Kobe Bryant. He says, come on, I'll introduce you. So we meet Kobe Bryant, and he was fantastic. He was great. And so every time the Raptors, or in this case, the Bulls, played the Lakers, I would see Kobe out for a couple, 3, 5 minutes, whatever, and we would have a nice conversation. And most of the conversations had nothing to do with basketball. Absolutely zero. on that particular night that he scored 81 points, it was a Sunday night. And, Steve, I remember if this was yesterday. It was a Sunday night. It was a 6 o'clock tip at the Staples. Now it's, I think, the Crypto, whatever they call it. And, I mean, there were no A-list celebrities there, like not one. The biggest A-list celebrity, if you could call it A-list, was the comedian Andy Dick. Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't. Well, anyway, so, because normally, you know, when we were doing games, we were on the floor back then. I'm serious. I mean, we were back on the floor for Lakers games, and, you know, we would be sitting next to Adam Sandler. We'd be sitting. I actually went up to Tom Petty at halftime of a game, and I said, you know, I am such a huge fan of yours. Would you mind if I grabbed a picture with you, which I have, and look at it periodically on my phone? And he said, you know, I'm about 10 feet from you. We can hear you. And he goes, I love your passion, man. Keep it up. And I could have gone home then. Forget the third and fourth quarters. So anyway, so this is Sunday night. You got the Lakers, you got the Raptors, and the Raptors, obviously, just a below-average team. Nothing great about the Lakers. They had Smush Parker, Chris Mim, you know, that type of ball club. And so the Raptors are up by 18 points. And then all of a sudden, in early mid-third quarter, there was a pass by the Raptors from one sideline cross-court to another. Kobe intercepted it, went down the length of the floor, and dunked it. And it was a wake-up call for the folks in L.A., and Kobe just took over. And I'll tell you what, I don't have the stats in front of me, and maybe, you know, you've got maybe Sean can help you out in the studio, or maybe you can call it up the box score sheet. So Kobe, like, was incredible. I think he went to the foul line 20, 22, 23 times, whatever. I think he missed only like one or two free throws. And so he's got 79 points. And I'm just in awe. So he's going to the foul line. And the crowd there is going, 80, 80. And I said on the air, I said, when's the last time a player felt pressure scoring 79 points? I mean, really, come on. You got 79 points and the crowd said 80 because, you know, the 8-0 looks more impressive than a 7-9. So Kobe's going to the line. And again, I don't know if Sean's pulled it up or if you're able to Google it. So he goes to the line. He makes two free throws. He's got 81 points.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers beat the Raptors. And it's, to this day, Steve, it's the most remarkable single event I've ever seen. People always say, well, Chuck, you were in New Orleans, Super Bowl 20. You know, the Bears beat the Patriots, manhandled Steve Grogan and company. And, yeah, that was impressive. And I saw the Blackhawks run, you know, with the Stanley Cups. But this was a one-man wrecking crew. He took on every player, whether it was Chris Bosh, whether it was Mo Peterson, whether it was Jalen Rose, whether it was Matt Bonner. I mean, you could go right down the list. We threw everything, we meaning the Raptors, that particular game, Steve. They threw everything at Kobe Bryant. They trapped him. They threw a box in one. We played zone. We took different turns with players saying, hey, I can take him. And Kobe just said, hey, bring it on. And, I mean, it was just crazy.
Did you dance for Tom Petty?
You know what? Actually, I'll tell you what. The exchange lasted all of like 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have been nicer. And he had this big, bushy red beard. And but the fact that he said, you know, we're within listening distance to you. And he goes, man, I love your passion. You're good. Keep it up, man. And then and so he goes, let's take the picture. So he took the picture and his agent or his friend that was sitting next to him. And that was that. And so I got on my phone and I'm a huge Tom Petty fan.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Big Petty fan here. You know, you mentioned Rob Pelinka, and not without reason was he maybe central in changing the way the trade deadline works. So this week, as general manager of the Lakers, he acquired Luka Doncic for trading one star for another, but bringing another star to L.A., and that's one of the four major food groups in L.A. is stars. And, yes. And the idea that Rob pulled that trade off, and you saw what kind of week it had where the NBA usurped Super Bowl, what do you think changed, if anything, for the future of the NBA? Or is this a precursor of the way trading deadlines will become in the NBA?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, number one, I think, and I don't want to get too deep on this because I think it's too complicated to explain with the cap and the aprons and what comes with it, but it is affecting the game. I don't think there's any question about it. So having said that, this was a seismic trade, something that we haven't seen in a long time. Normally, players want out. Okay, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wanted out of Milwaukee in the mid-70s, and Wayne Embry, who is in the Hall of Fame, one of my favorite people in life, was the GM of the Bucks. And Kareem said, I want to go to L.A. or New York. And Wayne made a blockbuster deal that was actually pretty good for Milwaukee, but, you know, Kareem was in his prime and went to L.A., and you know the rest of the story with Showtime. So, but there have been players who have asked out. Some have done it publicly, like Jimmy Butler that we just saw. Other players have done it privately and on the low vibe. But in this case, where Anthony Davis and Luka Doncic had no clue that they were on the block, at least not at this point in life, then this, they pulled it off. And for them, there was no social media, no tweets, no shams, no nothing. And so, you know, I'm waking up. My phone is blowing up at like 1 a.m. in the morning. We were on the road. We were in Detroit. And so all of a sudden, like, it's going crazy. So, I mean, so I don't know how it went down. But Rob did have a relationship with Nico Harrison, the general manager of Dallas, because, Steve, Nico was extremely involved and very close to a number of NBA players because of his relationship when he worked at Nike. So having said that, now he comes to the Mavericks, and he and Rob, you know, make this deal. And then not telling Utah what was going on, Rob makes a deal with Utah to create some room so he could make this trade. Utah, Danny Ainge had no idea what was going on when Rob called the Jazz and said, hey, you know what, let's make a trade for a couple of seconds and to get below the apron and tax. And so next thing you know, that, you know, Anthony Davis, along with Max Christie, by the way, from Rolling Meadows, who's a really good young player, they're on their way to Dallas, and you've got now Luka Doncic at the age of 25 going to the Lakers. And honestly, Steve, all this talk about, well, he needs to get in better shape and he's not in conditioning. You know what? This guy can get 35, 12, and 9 anytime he wants. And, hey, I wish I was in that kind of shape.
That's a way to go. Tonight, speaking of Jimmy Butler, is Jimmy Butler going to play? The Bulls play the Warriors tonight, 6:45, Chuck's pregame show, and Chuck will be on the air calling the play-by-play. Bulls-Warriors, Jimmy Butler make his Warriors debut tonight?
Well, here's the story on that. Another good question, Stephen. So because this was a multi-player trade and multi-team trade, before you can play a game, everyone has to pass their physicals. So this was a loaded trade. And with all the teams, when they consummated this deal, players are moving left to right. So I believe it's going to get done. It was not done early this afternoon at the shoot-around, but I think everyone is hopeful that everyone's going to be able to take their physicals and get it done so everyone can play. And, you know, he's going to wear jersey number 10, and it's going to be Jimmy Butler the third. That's going to be on his jersey, Butler third, 111. So I think this is, you know, he got paid, and I think he wanted that extension actually from Miami, and Miami was very reluctant to do that for whatever reason. I don't know, but Golden State stepped in, and Andrew Wiggins is a really good player. and Miami actually helped themselves by getting Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and Davion Mitchell. So, I mean, there you go.
Chuck, thanks for the memories. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the stories. It's great. Love talking with you. Appreciate your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Stephen.
Chuck Swirsky, Bulls basketball, Bulls play-by-play tonight, 6:45 on the score. Is pregame tip at 7, Jimmy Butler and the Warriors against the Bulls. We'll take a break when we come back. But first, listen to me. Let me tell you this. The Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is easy to enter. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the score each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four during the first weekend of the tournament in March. Stay at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can visit the biggest March hoops party, Stadium Swim. Airfare is also included. Plus, are you sitting down? $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas. Take a break. When we come back, I have stuff! Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
All right, a couple of things before we get out of here. I kept talking about Patrick Mahomes winning 3 straight Super Bowls. No one's ever done it. And a bunch of texters called Bart Starr. Hey, Bart Starr, Packers, Bart Starr, Packers. Yeah, okay. First of all, those weren't Super Bowls. He did not win 3 in a row. Packers won a whole bunch of titles in a row, a whole bunch of NFL titles in a row in the 60s. They were not Super Bowls. In fact, the first two games that we now call Super Bowls weren't called Super Bowls. They were called NFL, AFL championship games. Super Bowl wasn't adopted until Joe Willie Namath made everything famous. So, Bart Starr didn't do that. He may have won 3 titles in a row. He may have won 4, may have won 5. He did not win 3 Super Bowls in a row, period. Moving right along. I hope you are suitably humiliated, texters. Next, Bob Morgan, Democrat from Highwood, introduced a bill. I love this. He introduced a bill. He's a state rep. New legislation would require sports teams seeking taxpayer assistance to have won at least half of their games in 3 of the last 5 seasons. Oh my God, I love you, Bob Morgan. Quote, our primary goal with this bill is not to punish teams, but to ensure that Illinois taxpayers, that their money is spent responsibly. No one wants to see taxpayer dollars wasted by billionaire team owners that are not investing in their team's competitiveness. Chairman Reinsdorf on line one. I bet you the chairman spends more money trying to defeat this bill than he's ever spent on a free agent. And Super Bowl tomorrow, ads tomorrow. Catherine O'Hara, a global treasure. I love Catherine O'Hara. We all should love Catherine O'Hara. She and William Defoe will be in a commercial. You can worry about, I don't even know what the product is. I should know. I think it's a beer. They are pickleball killers. They're pickleball sharks. Catherine O'Hara, William Defoe, pickleball sharks. And let me leave you with this for the Super Bowl. We're talking about SNL. Funniest person on SNL, Jana Carvey said, Farley doing in a van down by the river was the most explosively funny thing. You would never want your sketch to come on after that. See, we know that here. Nobody wants to come on after Saturday Suckage. They just go to syndication here because nobody wants to talk in my radio shadow. So that's it for Saturday Suckage today. If nobody important listened, I'll be back next week. And on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, we bring you syndication. Saturday Suckage.
That was awesome.
If we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.